Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That means we're being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. These are interesting and trying times financially. Someone you need to trust. Rick is absolutely that person. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. And coming up on the show today, we're going to talk with Corey Geiger. Next half hour, Altoona Mirror, Tony Mancuso from GoPSUSports.com. We are working on a special guest for tomorrow. We now bring in Marcel Marceau.
He's famous, at least.
He's a mime.
He's famous, at least.
Yeah, sure.
Also coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Audrey Snyder from the PennLive.com and the Harrisburg Patriot.
Yeah, we'll talk with her as well. So, looking forward to that. Audrey will be terrific to talk to. I have Corey next half hour. All right. So that's what we have going on here today at the broadcast facility of Champions. Kevin, of course, always asking the intriguing questions. All the time. Today, he texted me a question. Why is Steven Obengajapong playing for the West in the East-West Shrine Game?
Am I missing something there? There's three players from Penn State. Two are playing for the East, one playing for the West. Did I read that wrong?
No. Does it matter?
But why? If it's the East-West Shrine Game, shouldn't it be players from the East and players from the West? Does it matter? No. But there is, it's like, why call it the East-West Shrine Game? Just call it the Shrine Game, then.
To your credit, you ask questions where I sit back and go, I'm not even going to bother answering it.
But these are questions that you wouldn't ask because, you know, it just doesn't come to mind. It comes
because
to my
I
mind
don't. Because I don't care.
That's like, this is the Steve Jones Show. And today on the Steve Jones Show, well, Steve Jones isn't here. Ever. That would be like, why do you call it the Steve Jones Show then? I don't know. We just like that guy's name. Why do you call it the East-West Shrine Game if players from the East are not going to play players from the West? I don't know.
Unreal.
And I take it you don't know the answer.
I don't care. I think they're just evening up the teams. What does it matter? Geez, all it matters is whether the dude plays and impresses somebody and gets himself into a draft position.
Yes, that is very true. You're right. That's really what does matter here. I understand.
I could care less who he's playing for. I don't care if he's playing for Team Brazil. I just want Stevie to do well and get his name out there and see if he can impress somebody. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. If he ever got to a team, he would help them tremendously on special teams right away.
He's from New York, right?
Say that again?
Is he from New York? I mean,
yeah, he's from the Bronx.
So he's from the East as well. So it's not like he lives in the West and went to a school in the East that you could put him in the Western bracket.
You never talked this much about him when he was here.
You know, Larry Webster from Bloomsburg is in the West. Really?
They're just trying to even up the teams. That's all so they could. I mean, he probably has a better chance to play for the West. That's good. They probably had more DBs or outside linebackers from the East, so he flipped over to the West. What's wrong with that? The whole point is you're playing in the game.
Okay.
As opposed to what you're doing.
Think about this, Steve. The NCAA went away from the East, West, Midwest, Far West when they did their bracketing. Why? Because it didn't make any sense. So then they went with different names for it. Why? You know, these things you're never going to think about, but thanks to me, we're actually going to spend some time thinking about it.
I don't care.
You mean to tell me you don't think anybody watching this game is going to wonder why in the world a guy from Penn State or Bloomsburg is playing in the West?
No offense, but let's do a poll of America. They don't even know where Bloomsburg is.
All right, Bloomsburg, all right, I'll give you that one. I'll give you okay. that one.
Yeah, I don't think you have much choice. Golly.
There's another kid from Concordia. That might be in the West, though, depending on what it is. I know a couple of those.
Wait, Concordia, California?
Yeah, that might be California now that I think about it. I'm trying to think of all the people in the West that don't belong there based on their school. Let's see.
Do you think I even looked at the roster?
No, I don't think you looked at the roster, which is why I brought it up to you, because I know you'd never notice it otherwise. Toledo. Toledo's not in the West. I mean, unless Toledo moved, it's still in Ohio, and Ohio's, you know, still east of the Mississippi, or is my geography off?
No, Toledo's very much, it's right on the Michigan border.
Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, not east of the Mississippi, or not west of the Mississippi.
Really? Huh. Now, I never would have thought of these things. Huh. You're way ahead on the curve here. This is terrific stuff.
Let's see. Notre Dame.
Dave in Sunbury's on the line to save the show. Dave.
Well, I don't know if I'm here to save the show, but I will tell you can give us back to Kevin Herr that deal about certain players from different parts of the country. That East West the Shrine Game.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly what you said about, you know, divvying up the squad. That started 40 years ago.
Just trying to make the teams even.
That's it in a nutshell.
I'm not saying this is new. I thought it was dumb then.
Well, it's been going on for 40 years. They said that because you can get years to where if you take all the guys you got available, some years the East would be just blowing teams out, and the other way it could be the West in another year.
And that's fine, but don't call it the East and West. Come up with a different name.
Man,
why are we even talking about this?
Because if I'm going to root, that's like I root for the East because I live in the East, so I'm automatically going to root for the East. I'm not going to root for the West because they're in the West.
Oh, but I can see that. Are you putting your boat in for the Pro Bowl?
The Pro Bowl's ridiculous. That's even a worse idea.
Oh, man.
Don't even get me started on the Pro Bowl. That's a mess.
Hey, Steve, you know, just to be honest, to say that, you know, I just thought I'd let him know about 4 years ago. That's why they decided
to
do it.
Good job, Dave.
Yeah, I thought it was dumb then.
Just level it off and go from there. But I had a question for you.
Sure.
Do you have a list of backs so far of the coaches that he has coming in? Or did he share it with you or not?
What, the list of guys I know that are coming in? I know most of the staff, but they're going to release it all at once.
Well, see, because all the thing I'm getting is everybody's asking me why Larry Johnson went to Ohio State and all this other stuff. I said, I don't know. That's his own business.
Right.
You know?
Well, Larry Johnson ends up being, assistant head coach, which is just all that does is give you make more money than a regular assistant coach. I mean, that's what he ends up getting. But as I tried to point out yesterday to people, they get all up in arms about Urban Meyer, and now he's got Larry Johnson. Hey, you know what Urban Meyer's worst year as a coach happens to be record-wise? When the program was all his sixth year, okay, when it was all his recruits.
Well, Steve, that one year I was upset personally. You know why? when Penn State went down and played Florida, like you said, the wrong team won that ball game. I never seen so much inept as far as coaching of the Penn State side that they decided not to win the game.
They right.
They coached it up the way they should have.
Yeah.
That game would have been no question about it. So I said, that's what I would have said about it. Is you give your team the best possible chance to win, which means coaching all out.
Right.
Not sticking it in a box just because of, you're shaking a handshake with this guy. So what? He's an opponent.
Right.
No.
Exactly. So, look, hey, I'm not worried. I'm happy for him. He got a raise out of it. It's going to work out fine for him. It's also going to work out fine for Penn State. I think both sides are going to be very happy with how the Larry Johnson situation worked out. Ohio State people are going to be happy with the job he does because we know the job he does based on what he did here. But I think people are going to be really happy with, like, Sean Spencer and the job he's going to do up front as well here.
Well, I said, and I was telling my one brother, I said, well, everybody thinks about where Larry Johnson recruits. Well, so does Maryland and Penn State recruits the same places, too.
Sean Spencer was considered one of the top recruiters on James Franklin's staff at Vanderbilt.
So I said, yes, he was a good recruiter, but, hey, just because one guy can do it, can't another person just do the same thing?
Right.
Right.
So I don't worry about these things. It drives Kevin nuts that I don't worry about really anything.
Yeah. And the only thing I call in to tell Kevin why that happened, and now we got on. They just said, hey, that's why we're doing it, to even out the squads, because when you got a 45-10 score in an all-star game. That looks like, that's like that Pro Bowl crap.
Right.
The exact same thing. You know, that was justification for those players.
Right.
They didn't really play all out.
Look, they just play a game. It's an all-star game. Now, the difference in the all-star game you'll watch when you see the Shrine Game, Senior Bowl, so forth, is that these guys are all doing whatever they can to impress somebody. That's why it's a different level. Yeah.
And that's why they level it off, to make it... You get a comparable, as far as if you're going to draft somebody, you get to look to see what you're doing against somebody of the same, basically, ability. I'll let you
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Dave. Appreciate it. Do you wake up and think of these things?
No, I just read it. I read it earlier today, and I just thought it was silly.
So you'd rather have him on one team and maybe playing less?
No, I don't mind having them on different teams. Just don't call it East and West, because that's not true.
It's just a traditional name.
I'm all for truth in advertising. What's coming up, Steven?
There are 7 or 8 different lines I can give based on that response.
What's coming up, Steven?
Corey Geiger's coming up next. Audrey Snyder next half hour. And maybe we are working on a special guest for tomorrow's show. And if it works out, I think people are going to be very pleased. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I want to promise the audience in no uncertain terms that there'll be no discussion of how the teams were broken up at the East-West Shrine Game. We're done, okay? If that holds any of you in there a little bit longer, I appreciate it. All right, today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com. The trust that you can place in Rick, something you can't really put a price on. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, Audrey Snyder next half hour. This half hour, Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror. Corey, it's amazing how when you go through a process like this and, somebody leaves and people get antsy and it's all unsettled and you find out this candidate might be offered, not offered, and people are wondering and there's confusion and so forth. And the second you name somebody An instant calm comes over the populace. How did you feel it played out as you watched it from afar?
I think that's a good point that you make, Steve, because people react to the moment. You're reacting to Bill O'Brien leaving or what have you, and then the coaching search comes out, and I want Al Golden, I want Mike Munchak, I want James Franklin. But then the great thing about the unity in sports is that as soon as the guy becomes your guy, then everybody rallies around him. I'm sure even the people who wanted Al Golden are probably rallying around James Franklin. The people who wanted Mike Munchak or anybody, or the people who are upset that Bill O'Brien's leaving, once he becomes part of your team, you rally around the guy. I've said this for years. Steelers fans hate Ray Lewis, but if Ray Lewis ever joined the Steelers, they would love the guy. So, again, once Franklin becomes a Nittany Lion and he's part of, you know, the process that and the team that the fans are rooting for, then he becomes one of them and you kind of fall in love with the guy.
I think one thing that you and I both knew going in was that no matter what, he would win the press conference. As you sat there and watched him handle one question or issue after another, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, very energetic and enthusiastic. I remember when Michael Haywood got the job at Pitt. It's really one of the few times I've ever seen a coach stink at the press conference. And then, of course, he was fired a couple weeks later for some issues. But to go in and be able to win the press conference and say the right thing, we tend to think that it's maybe an easier thing because so many coaches are able to do it now. But I kind of look at it from the other standpoint. The reason these coaches get these jobs is because they're able to do and say the right things and act, prepare themselves for what they have to say, prepare themselves for the situation. It's not just for one press conference. It's who they are. And I did get a sense that we got to see who James Franklin really is, a real people guy. You know, he's trying to speak to everybody by first names in the room when they ask questions. I thought it was a very impressive, 45 minutes that he had answering questions. And then we got to speak with him for another 15 or 20 minutes after that with his little girls when they came up. And, again, just a very impressive guy so far.
Then there's the players. If there's any group that will adjust to a new coach, it's going to be this one because they have specialized in resiliency. When you've been around them, talk to them, listen to their phone conferences, whatever, what's been your impression about how they've handled everything?
Well, you go back to November a couple years ago. The players have been the one constant at Penn State University that have always, in every situation, have always handled themselves with incredible dignity and class. I mean, there have been officials at the university who have done and said some very questionable things, but the players at every step, and these are 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids, that's what has always impressed me the most. They have never flinched as a group from that first week a few years ago when everything broke to now. They have always handled themselves exceptionally well. I sometimes, Steve, worry about the future of our country because everybody's on cell phones and iPads all the time and nobody wants to communicate or talk. But seeing the way the Penn State kids have handled everything for the past couple of years gives me hope for the future of our country that, we are going to have responsible adults when they grow up.
No question, because, they've handled everything with tremendous poise every step of the way. I don't think you could script out if you had a group of script writers in a room that spent hours trying to work this out. I don't think you could script out how any better how the players reacted the last 2 years plus along the way. Now what are you going to look for, Corey? What do you look for now? I mean, this is one of those areas before the next big thing, obviously, will be the naming of the assistant coaches officially. I think people are getting a pretty good idea who it is. I think, if you're not paying attention. And then, of course, National Letter of Intent Day. Is there anything we can read out of any of those two things at all?
My feeling is, talking to some of the people who follow recruiting a lot closer than I do, Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated
right.
was on my show yesterday.
He's very good.
Thomas Holly flipped, but they seem to believe that the rest of the class is going to hold up. So, again, James Franklin is an enthusiastic guy. He can sell these kids on Penn State. There's plenty to sell going forward. If he can keep this class intact, they lose Holly, but maybe they improve in another way or two, getting some of these Vanderbilt flips or what have you. I mean, as everybody knows, it's not the X's and the O's, it's the Jimmys and the Joes. It's not like James Franklin is the greatest coach in the history of the world, and that's why they won at Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he had good players. I'm sure he's a good coach with a good system and a good scheme, but I'm sure he had good players too. You're not winning without players. So, this is what we're going to see right now over the next few weeks with leading up to signing day. That's going to impact the program for the next 5 years, and then obviously so on and go forth with all the recruiting. So, he and his staff, I'm glad to see he's getting the staff in place very quickly, because they've got, a very, very important job to make sure they get it right today for the next 5 years.
We're at a point, I'm sure, I think I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but we seem to be at a point in coaching. There are certain things. For example, we know absolutely what a Jim Boeheim program looks like. We've witnessed it for decades. We know what a Krzyzewski program looks like. We knew what a Paterno program looked like, a Bowden program looked like. But you don't get full, take Richard Pitino was at FIU 1 year. He's at Minnesota his second year. This would have been James Franklin's fourth year at Vanderbilt. Is it harder to get a read on coaches and programs now because there is such movement?
Yeah, I mean, the coaches you mentioned, the guys who stay at one place forever, they are able to do that because they have success with it. And, the Bob Stoops of the world, he's able to stay there.
Yep.
But even a Jimbo Fisher, did anybody know exactly what Florida State was going to do when he took over? I mean, he had an idea that he would continue things, but nobody knew exactly. James Franklin, I thought it was very intriguing because everybody wants to know, what are you going to do? Are you going to try to be a balanced offense? Are you going to throw it more? Are you going to be a 4-3 defense? Are you going to be a 3-4? Are you going to come out and play a lot of nickel or dime packages? Are you going to be mostly base packages on defense? What about special teams? He really didn't address those things, and he'll continue to be asked those things. But what he kept saying was, I'm going to look at the personnel we have, and I'm going to adjust and adapt, and we're going to make sure we're flexible in our schemes and flexible in our game plans. And I think that's really what you have to do in today's sports, because even these coaches that have been around forever, the people like Boeheim, well, they've got to be able to adjust and adapt.
Sure.
Because people will figure you out. If you're not able to – if you're not able to adjust and they figure you out, then you're not going to be in the booth very long.
Right, because the subject of Urban Meyer came up yesterday, and because Larry Johnson's going there. And I said, well, gee, I don't know. Does anybody know what a full Urban Meyer program looks like? I said, we got to look at it in the Outback Bowl. That was his sixth year. That's the worst year he had. I mean,
I heard that, Steve.
And I was
over there.
And I want to correct. Yeah. I want to correct one thing. I want to correct one thing I said yesterday, because I was wrong about one part of what I said. I said his worst years were his fifth and his sixth. That's incorrect. It was his sixth year. His fifth year, he was 13-1, and I was dead wrong about that. But his sixth year, he was 8-5, and we saw him in the Outback Bowl. So allow me to correct myself.
Well, this is no disrespect to Urban Meyer. I mean, the guy is a great coach.
Yes,
I'm not,
no doubt.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's not a great coach. But he took over a program that Ron Zook recruited those players. Ron Zook recruited Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I can't for the life of me understand how Ron Zook was as bad of a head coach as he was, given his recruiting ability.
Right.
But he took over Ohio State, and those were Jim Tressel's players. So, I mean, I think there is something to be said for the fact that he's going to have to go out and continue to recruit well if he's going to keep Ohio State at that kind of level. And, hey, whether fans are angry or happy for Larry Johnson or not, and I'm kind of in the middle, I do think he's sticking it to Penn State, but I also think that he has every right to, and it's a good business decision on his behalf. It's a brilliant decision by Urban Meyer to go get Larry Johnson.
Sure.
I don't know how I don't know how anybody can look at that and say, you know, that Urban Meyer did anything but improve his team by bringing in Larry Johnson.
Right, and that's how I've looked at it the entire time. Same as you, like, you know, there's a part of you kind of feel like, okay, but he also ended up being, you know, they gave him more money too. He, you know, what assistant, what associate head coach, you know, assistant head coach. That, you know, that means nothing. Zero. Zip. Zilch. There are no additional responsibilities. Just a way of getting you more money on the pay scale. Mark Emmert this week, of course, at the NCAA Coaches Convention, had his opportunity because it was in Indianapolis to talk about this. And he said, he was asked about the Penn State thing. And he said that he used the word experiment to describe the one-time nature of this. Is there anything that's going to infuriate Penn State fans more by hearing that this was an experiment?
Yeah, he's never going to come out. Mark Emmert never is going to admit that he and the NCAA botched the sanctions. I do think that it's good that they gave him back the scholarships early last year. Most of us seem to think they're going to give him back the bowl games. That's not gonna fix everything. There's no doubt about it.
No.
But yeah, when he uses that word experiment, now the one thing he did say, and I read that interview, mm-hmm. He said that it wasn't just his decision; it was the university president's. I don't know for sure, you know, if that was exactly the case or if they were following his lead or not. But I do think there is a little bit of a distinction there, if indeed that were the case, because I know Penn State fans hate Mark Emmert.
Sure.
I do think there is a chance that maybe he's the one and only fall guy, if indeed these were, you know, proposals by the other university presidents in the NCAA, then I think there's, you know, blame to go around for everybody, more so than just Mark Emmert.
Well, I'll say this. He is not he's never once backed down saying it was wrong. I'd say the consistency of it. Now, a lot of people are going to think that he was consistently wrong, but he has not, in terms of his consistency, he's never backed down from it. Now, some of the givebacks on sanctions may be an admission, but at the same time, he's kind of stood fast by what they did.
Well, we like to oversimplify things in this country. If the economy's bad, it's the president's fault. Mm-hmm. Well, Ben Bernanke or before him Alan Greenspan, they have more to do with the economy than the president ever does. So
sure.
we will always try to pin blame on one person. And again, maybe all of this is Mark Emmert's fault, but
right.
You know, I would tend to think that there had to be a lot of other people, you know, who are on board with what the NCAA did to Penn State. And I'm in no way defending Mark Emmert, because frankly, Steve, I think Mark Emmert is a buffoon. But I don't know that everything that happened to Penn State is entirely just his fault.
Right. Right. I know the state of Connecticut has some questions for him from his time at UConn, but that's okay. It's a different case at a different time. College basketball right now. Wisconsin finally lost. Number of undefeated teams now reduced, I believe, to 3. One of them, though, is Wichita State, which made the Final Four last year. And they have quietly built another good year under Greg Marshall. Pretty impressive thing overall. Who do you think are the best 5 teams in your mind right now in that neighborhood, even if you can just name 3?
The best teams, I've seen Arizona several times. I think they're the best team.
They're good.
I've seen Syracuse, obviously, a bunch. When they're playing well, they're among the 2 or 3 best teams. But at the same time, they were down 8 in the second half to a terrible Boston College team before turning it on. But when Syracuse is playing well, they are certainly right there. You know, what I have a hard time figuring out is, are these teams like North Carolina and Duke, they'll pick up some good wins, and then North Carolina has just fallen apart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's the what's going on in college basketball when you've got so many of these programs relying so heavily on freshmen or sophomores. You're not necessarily going to see them play consistent basketball until February or March. You look at Kentucky. I watched Kentucky the other day. They lose to Arkansas. Arkansas is not very good.
No.
They're a borderline NCAA tournament team.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be more scared of Kentucky in 2 months when those kids really start to figure things out.
Yeah.
The difference between the heyday of college basketball, which is what I grew up with in the 80s and the 90s, these teams started the season and they were excellent because they had juniors and seniors who already knew what to do. Right. Now you've got Jabari Parker, who basically, you know, contributes nothing sometimes at the end of games, and Krzyzewski has had to bench him at the end of games.
Right.
Well, he's a freshman. But let's see that kid in 2 months, you know, compared to right now, the growth process can happen very, very quickly. And my third one, I would say Michigan State. I think Michigan State, when they're playing well, those are the three best teams I think I've seen are probably Arizona, Syracuse, and Michigan State.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do. Absolutely agree with it. Corey, thanks so much. We're headed toward the top of the hour. We have Audrey Snyder next half hour. Corey, always appreciate the time. Today's show being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. Next half hour, Audrey Snyder. Final half hour, Kevin's rant on why a guy from the Bronx is playing for the West. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford is serious. Serious about liquidating $5.3 million of new Ford inventory by January 31st.
And this is how they're going to do it.
Come in and choose from over 100 new F-Series trucks with savings up to $10,300. SMC has the largest selection of F-150s in all of Central PA. And they start under $20,000. Take $4,500 off all 35 2014 Ford Focuses. And they start at $15,990. Sunbury Motors has over 30 of the top-selling 2014 Ford Fusions slash to as low as $19,880. The 2014 Ford Escapes are flying off the lot. SMC has 65 to pick from, starting at $20,880. With financing available as low as 0% for up to 72 months on select models and the largest selection of new Fords in the entire Susquehanna Valley, Sunbury Motors is the clear choice for your next vehicle. SMC is serious about moving $5.3 million of inventory by January 31st. Sunbury Motors in the Northwest Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services. REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Baseball is going to go with, they officially voted 30-0, by the way, on instant replay. And if you miss a challenge, you lose a challenge. If you make it, then you get to keep an extra one, like the NFL system. It's fine. It's about time they did it. Make the game better. And that's, you have electronics now.
And they're going to do it, the way I understand, Steve, they're going to do it similar to what the NHL does. They have one central location in New York where they're going to be reviewing things.
Yeah, which is, that's fine.
No, that's, I think that's a great idea.
I talked about that before, that they may go that direction. They can do it at one centralized group and then go from there the way the NHL does. And I think that, you know, look, you have all those games poured in. You have somebody assigned to watch it. When the moment arrives, you check it. If you need help from somebody else whose game's in commercial or whatever, you can do that too.
No, it keeps everybody, keeps everybody in a central location, and it's cost-effective for the Major League Baseball.
Oh, it's extremely cost-effective. I mean, the most you're going to have in one night are 15 games. I mean, that's the most you're going to have. And you're not going to have 15 games every night anyway. So I think this is a smart move by Major League Baseball. It's definitely a move forward for Major League Baseball. And it's something baseball rarely does. It's move forward. It's not usually their specialty. I know they feel over and over again that, oh, no, our game's just fine. It's just fine. You have a great game. Your game is fine in a lot of ways, all right? But there are also a couple parts of it where if you are able to tweak here and there, then now you get something that's really, you know, can make the product better. The point is to improve the product. Now, we're going to improve our product because we're going to have Audrey Snyder on the show. 4:06, next half hour, working on a special guest for tomorrow. And hopefully we'll get word about this by tomorrow morning, but that's what we're working on for tomorrow. But Audrey Snyder is definitely on next at 4:06 today. Our thanks to Corey Geiger for being on this half hour. Show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.